Now, Tertius, as you can hear, I've got the dread of working, and I was really glad that when you look at the author's service, we're not reading from John and Daniel. John is reading from Daniel. Okay, that's the reading responding, so John is going to be doing that for us, John.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, John.
Today's reading is from Daniel chapter 4, the whole of chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar's dream about a tree. King Nebuchadnezzar sent this message to the people of every race and nation and language throughout the world. Peace and prosperity to you. I want you all to know about the miraculous signs and wonders the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how powerful his wonders. His kingdom will last forever, his rule through all generations. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. But one night I had a dream that frightened me. I saw visions that terrified me as I lay in my bed. So I issued an order, calling all the wise men of Babylon, so that they could tell me what my dream meant. When all the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and fortune tellers came in, I told them the dream, but they could not tell me what it meant. At last, Daniel came in before me, and I told him the dream. He was named Belteshazzar, after my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said to him, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too great for you to solve. Now tell me what my dream means. While I was lying in my bed, this is what I dreamed. I saw a large tree in the middle of the earth. The tree grew very tall and strong, reaching into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves. It was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade, and birds nested in its branches. All the world was fed from this tree. Then, as I lay there dreaming, I saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. The messenger shouted, "Cut down the tree and lop off its branches. Shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Chase the wild animals from its shade and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump and the roots of the ground, bound with a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender cuts. Now let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the wild animals along the plants of the field. For 7 periods of time, let him have the mind of a wild animal instead of the mind of a human. For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the holy ones, so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people. Belteshazzar, that was a dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now tell me what it means, for none of the wise men of my kingdom can do so. But you can tell me, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you." Daniel explains the dream. Upon hearing this, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, was overcome for a time, frightened by the meaning of the dream. Then the king said to him, "Belteshazzar, don't be alarmed by the dream and what it means." Belteshazzar replied, "I wish the events foreshadowed in this dream would happen to your enemies, my lord, and not to you. The tree you saw was growing very tall and strong, reaching high into the heavens for all the world to see. It had fresh green leaves and was loaded with fruit for all to eat. Wild animals lived in its shade and birds nested in its branches. That tree, your majesty, is you. For you have overthrow strong and great. Your greatness reaches up to the heaven, and you rule to the ends of the earth. Then you saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump and the roots in the ground, bound to a band of iron and bronze and surrounded by tender grass. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals of the field for 7 periods of time. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High has declared will happen to my Lord the King. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. You will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. But the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means that you will receive your kingdom back when you have learned that heaven rules. King Nebuchadnezzar, please accept my advice. Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, when he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon, as he looked out across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. While these words were still in his mouth, a voice fell down from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom. You will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. And you will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses. That same hour the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar, praise God. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven. My sanity returned, and I praised and worshipped the Most High, and honored the One who lives forever. His rule is everlasting, his kingdom is eternal. All the people of earth are nothing compared to him. He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven, among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, what do you mean by doing these things? When my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out. I was restored as head of my kingdom, with greater honor than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. God bless the reading of his word.
When we deal with somebody like Nebuchadnezzar, we're dealing with a complex character. But isn't that true of all of us? Each and every one of us are complex. We're not simple. We're not straightforward. There are so many contradictions in all of us. That's human nature. We know that Nebuchadnezzar had an experience of God that was powerful, and that it impacted on his life in a very real way before this. And yet, here he is, back to his old ways, his old proud, arrogant, self-centered, self-sufficient ways. And yet the interesting thing is that God perseveres with this complex man. And it's a sign of both the grace and the love of God that for all of us, as with Nebuchadnezzar, that despite the fact that we are inconsistent and we should know better, and that we have had experiences of God that should make us know better, he nevertheless, in his grace and in his love, continues graciously to be our God, to work in our lives. And if you look at this passage before you, you will see that there are two kinds of power at work here. There is the power of the proud, arrogant, ruthless, and self-centered Nebuchadnezzar. But there is also God's power, which is greater than Nebuchadnezzar's power, but is compassionate, and is creative, and is loving, and persevering, and gracious. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, and you see where he's arrived at. There is no God quite like me, he's saying. Now you live in a culture where people believe in many gods, and Nebuchadnezzar has arrived at the conclusion, yes, there are all these gods, but there is none that quite is as great as I am. And here is his great struggle. Because he did have obvious power. You could see that. You could see the nations that he ruled. You could see Babylon in all of its glory, with its hanging gardens, one of the seven wonders of this world. But here is one of these delicious stories in the Bible where somebody speaks against themselves. For how else would we have had all of the details that we have in this story unless Nebuchadnezzar revealed at least part of it? He has this dream. The tree that he sees is symbolic of fertility and growth. The tree is symbolic of a life-giving entity that guarantees prosperity. And Nebuchadnezzar is proud to be able to say, I am that tree, greater than any other, guaranteeing the prosperity of this empire. But in the dream, the messenger of God tells Nebuchadnezzar that the tree will be reduced to a stump. What could this mean? None of the astrologers or magicians could give an answer to that. They should have been able to, but they didn't. And so Daniel is called in. Daniel is trusted. Daniel is a person who can interpret dreams. And Daniel immediately knows the answer. But notice that he hesitates. His hesitation is indicative of two potential things, maybe both together. He has no pleasure in telling the king the outcome, or he's afraid to tell the king the outcome. It's one or the other, or maybe both. But eventually Nebuchadnezzar encourages Daniel to be honest, and Daniel finally says to the king, this is what will happen to you if you do not change your ways. And so Daniel gives powerful advice and direction to the king. Now step aside from the story for just a moment and think about this, that there are times when there is an unpalatable and prophetic voice that the church has to speak to society, where there is both warning and encouragement. But there is also a warning to the church here. And the warning is this: do not angle for power. Do not desire to be so light and influential that you fail to speak an authentic word. If you like, there is only one voice, the voice of God that demands our allegiance. He has come and he is calling us to speak to the world about Jesus Christ. And here is Daniel's dilemma. Do I cushion or deny the message, or do I speak the truth with its potential consequences? Because the potential consequences were, I'm standing before the most powerful man in the world who could take my life for giving this message. And so Daniel walks into what we might call incredible freedom by speaking the truth, but also taking an incredible risk. Now step back for a moment and put yourself in Nebuchadnezzar's shoes. What is being told to him here is, you are the most powerful person in the world. Everything in this world is yours. But you will be reduced to an animal and become insane. After this time had passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven and my sanity was restored. After Nebuchadnezzar goes through everything that we've read in the story, and I don't want to go over that, his sanity is restored. Now, what does this have to say to us today? It has to say to us the same thing that was saying to the people who were in exile. God is at work despite all appearances. Do you remember? We read from Psalm 137. Do you remember the conclusion of those who were singing their song in Babylon? Oh, Babylon, you will be destroyed. Happy is the one who pays you back for what you've done. Happy is the one who takes your babies and smashes them against the rock. And here's a word to the despairing. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You don't get it. You're not seeing God in the story. It's a wee bit like the children's address. If we compartmentalize something and only see one side of reality, but don't see the bigger picture, then we lose our sense of perspective. And they have not seen God in the story. The people of God are not in a helpless and powerless condition. God is at work, and he's at work at the very top of the tree. And we might have a hard time seeing things God's way, but the people of God are encouraged to do that through this story. But maybe there's also another lesson here for us, and it's for us regarding the whole issue of pride, because that's what lay at the heart of Nebuchadnezzar's problem. Pride is a conception of self that goes beyond the boundaries of propriety and calls for humility. Listen to Philippians chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of honor and gave him the name that is above all names. Now, that's not just a description of who Christ is. It's also a description of who we must be. Be at peace with who we are and our circumstances, because God is in control. We never have to be a somebody that belongs to God alone. We don't have to crave significance, because that's something that belongs to God alone. We are significant because we belong to Christ. God humbles the proud, we're told. And we do not need, as Christians, to try to accommodate those who sneer at our faith. But instead, remember the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5. And of all the Beatitudes, this is the longest. Blessed are those who persecute you for doing right. You are persecuted, brother. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things because you are my followers. Be happy about that. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. And if you look at the first four chapters of Daniel, there is this relationship between God and Nebuchadnezzar, and it's mainly about who is it who's running the show. And the person who's running the show is not Nebuchadnezzar, it's God himself. But God loves Nebuchadnezzar so much, he wants Nebuchadnezzar to realize that, to come to a true understanding of God and of himself. But there's also a message to the people of God in this, and to the people of God of every generation. God is saying this: look around at you, look at your circumstances, and always understand this: no matter what is happening, I am the Lord God, who is in control of history and in control of this situation. Understand that. Do not despair. Do not look back. Do not look forward. Live in the moment, understanding that God is fully in control of what is happening to you as an individual and to us as the people of God. And where that society kicks hard against the church, and where we have, as we have in our own society, not just atheists, but anti-theists, people who choose to be against God and against his people because they hate the truth and the light, then always remember that those who sneer at us and may persecute us and pull us down and make a fool of us because of what we believe in are not the people with a final answer, and we must not be intimidated by that. We must remember what Jesus says: authentic Christianity will inevitably meet with opposition. That opposition may make us feel uncomfortable, but we don't shift sides. in order to accommodate those who are against us, in order to make them feel better about us and us feel better within our own culture. We remain fixed, clear and certain upon the path that we have chosen in following Jesus Christ. That's where Daniel was. That's where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego all were as well. And we must remain on that path because our God has called us to that through Jesus Christ, and because that's the right place always to be, whatever.